Daredevil and the rest of the Defenders are now on Disney Plus. Does that mean we will see Kingpin decapitate a dude with a car door on Miss Marvel? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we talk about movies, TV shows, comic books. It's basically it. Those are the things. I am DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy Stryer. But today, we have a very special guest. Winston, say hi to the kids at home. Let them know who you are, where you are, your exact location right now, where they can find you.
Hello, kids at home. My name is Winston. It is a pleasure to meet you. I don't know why I decided to introduce myself with that creepy-ass voice.
Do it. Commit to it.
So first of all, thank you so much for joining DJ on Only Stupid Answers. Roxy as well, a quite lovely individual. I've known her for a while. I know a lot about comic books, basketball, football, Texas, you know, all things Black Twitter, and a number of other things going on. So I just want to say hello. Welcome to this Patreon exclusive. No, but real talk, I'm happy to be here. No, like I said, I've known Roxy for a while and met DJ and we got to chatting about Spider-Man. And now here I am. I'm here to talk some Miss Marvel and Defenders and all the good stuff, man.
Yeah, we officially met at the Spider-Man No Way Home screening and we were all just happy to be there. We're glad this worked out, you know, because in the times of COVID, sometimes the screenings, you know, it's just it can be hit or miss.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. Last night I did not go to one. I don't know.
Oh, it's I think maybe I went to the one you didn't go to, and I will talk about it in what we're into this week.
Oh, good. Sometimes you just during this time period. Sometimes it's just like, mm-mm.
Yeah, you got to make a judgment call, gut call. You're like, okay, is it? You know, we're gonna have to make Morbius is coming up. You're like, all right, are we making this happen? Are we doing it? All right.
Yeah.
So Winston, you talking about some of the stuff that you're into. You said basketball. Have you been watching? Have you been checking out Winning Time on HBO?
I haven't started it yet. Because as we all know, there is so much content out in the sphere I've the other thing I forgot to say. I'm an expert on. I'm a bachelor head. Roxy knows she was part of our draft for one season and was like, "Y'all, I'm too busy for this," so she couldn't come back. But
Know that I was right about who won this year? I tweeted it out the first night of the show, and I said, "This is who he's going to pick," and I was right this season.
Well, then you should have been in the draft and won money. I don't know what to tell you. That sounds like a personal problem.
I know.
But which I was robbed, by the way. I call collusion because we twice picked the order and both times I ended up being last. And Susie was my number one choice. So I was very upset by the fact
but
that.
But does it even count? Does she even win? She didn't even get a.
She got the final rose.
Yeah, kind of in the after the rose ceremony.
Just because it ended weirdly, but she technically got the final rose. So that would mean that whoever picked her.
DJ, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I've not watched like one second of The Bachelor, but I love this. I love this for y'all. I love honestly, this is like, yeah, this is the way you should watch Bachelor, like competitively.
It's the only reason why, brother. Cause I could talk all this trash like, yeah, I got three girls left, son. You already out. Like you have to come with that energy. Otherwise you're just watching really bad drama on TV. But yes, I have been watching this NBA season. I've been watching my Mavericks go on a hot streak. And I won't lie that there's a small part of me that's kind of giggling at the Lakers probably not going to make the playoffs at this particular juncture because everybody in LA is obsessed with the Lakers. I know Roxy's not being a Celtics head. So,
So this is a good opportunity. Hold on, because normally when we talk about Bachelor, that's something we say for our Patreon show, what we're into. Mm-hmm. That if you're watching live, we record that like right after the main show. But this is a good to seed some stuff. Where are we at right now with Bachelor? Is it on? I don't know.
Just ended.
Okay.
Gotcha. It just ended. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I hear Winston that we're not coming back for Bachelor in Paradise this year, and that
they're not doing it.
I hear that they're not because I'm all over Bachelor TikTok And so I hear that they're not going to do Bachelor in Paradise this year. And that's why they gave it to both Rachel and Gabby, because there was going to be nowhere else for them to go. And so then we're waiting, I think, until I think it's July for the Bachelorette. That a long time away.
Sucks, because the best part of the series is definitely Paradise.
Bachelor in Paradise. I know.
That blows. That's okay. I mean,
I'm not sure, but that's the rumor.
I just thought maybe they were going to, because they start filming on Monday. So I just thought that, you know, maybe they're doing a late release that wraps up probably what? End of August, early September, because it's what, like a 10-week process or something like that.
Yeah.
And so then you just immediately start showing Paradise. But maybe it's gone this year. If that's the case, it is what it is. That's fine.
Would they do that? I feel like Paradise is everybody's favorite. Why? Really
listen, because Paradise is infected with Omicron right now. All right. They can't fly to Paradise.
That's probably true. That's probably
Paradise is in quarantine right now. Before I move on, you did mention Bel Air. I'm digging Bel Air. I actually think Bel Air
just started.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And
yeah. So that's all I was saying is that, like, again, just trying to play catch up because you already have your staples. So I mentioned The Bachelor, but like watching actual sports, keeping up with free agency for the NFL, you know, having to keep up. Like, I'm on my rewatch. It's funny you were going to be talking about The Defenders. I'm on my rewatch of the Disney Plus Marvel shows right now for a project I'm working on. And so it is just trying to find enough time in the day to get everything digested at the same time. So I just, Winning Time is on the list. Like, I finished Euphoria like 10 days late, behind everybody else, and trying to avoid spoilers on the internet can be really difficult sometimes. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So for those just tuning in, this is your first one. Guess what? I don't know what platform you're listening on, but if you're listening on iTunes, you can give us a 5-star review, please, and thank you. Please do that. If you're listening on Spotify, every week we ask a question. Last week's question was, do you prefer watching movies in theaters or at home? Jeremy Foley said, on one hand, I very much enjoy the comfort and convenience of watching movies at home. But on the other, it's hard to top the communal experience of a big event film in the theater. Ishu Wazalewski said, in theaters for sure. It makes me feel like an event and easier to pay attention. Wikit Lu says, I love the theaters being a space where I can pay full attention, but I appreciate being able to pace them out myself at home. I think it's mostly if the movie is an experience, talking a lot about the experience here is worth paying for. And David Rodriguez, for superhero movies, I like going to theaters because I love fans' reactions, but the other films I'm fine watching at home. All the HBO Max films were fine to watch at home. So those are the Winston preference, theater at home.
It honestly depends on the movie. If I'm being real with you, if it's something I'm not innately like, I have to see this, I will happily watch it at home. Also, I'm fine not watching like non-spectacle dramas at home as well. Mm-hmm. But if it's like a superhero movie, if it's like the Titanic, if it's like something that requires that all of that glorious sound and the Dolby and all that stuff, then feed it directly into my veins. Yep. But if it's, you know, I would have seen Turning Red in the theaters, but I was happy to watch that from my couch and like laugh and, you know, have a drink and just enjoy myself instead of having to go out and put on clothes and be a human, you know, just wear some sweats and chill, you know?
Yeah. So also, if you're watching this live, you're watching on patreon.com/onlystupidanswers, where we also have our exclusive shows, What We're Into, where Roxanne and I talk about the stuff that we're not able to talk about on the main show, and also my show with Sal, Spider-Versity, where Sal and I are going through all the Spider-Man movies. Far From Home is coming up. We're Far From Home. We just recorded our episode for Far From Home. And so next is going to be Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And then after that, yes, Spider-Man No Way Home. And we will have completed the initial assignment of all the Spider-Man movies. We have some plans after that are pretty exciting.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been an exciting ride. It was so easy. We were joking about this for Far From Home. It was so easy early on because it's like Spider-Man 2. It's like, well, remember Spider-Man 1? Here's Spider-Man 2. And now it's like, okay, Spider-Man Homecoming, new Spider-Man, but also you need to know Civil War. And then pause on that. Now Into the Spider-Verse and Venom. Now back to Far From Home. But guess what? Whole two other three-hour movies happened between Homecoming and Far From Home that we need to, like, you know what I mean? It's just become a more of a challenge.
That's fair. Yeah. I did one of those with Christian Harloff and Coy Jandrew end of last year leading up to No Way Home. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Like, I was happy to do it. It was cool to finally have perfect frame of reference for 20 years worth of Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
That's a lot of films to go through. Yep. And hence why you get behind on new content, because you're having to revisit old content new content that's coming. So yeah,
you got to rewatch 20 movies to talk about this new movie. It's exciting. Listen, it's exciting times we live in. We are going to come back after the break. We're going to talk about the Miss Marvel trailer, and we're going to talk about some Madam Web news. Everybody, the movie everybody's excited for, Madam Web. But first, we are going to go take a quick ad break. We will be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we are back, and we are here to talk about this new Miss Marvel trailer. It's funny, I feel like I have to admit, literally last week we were talking about Turning Red and Obi-Wan, and we're like, oh, Disney, it's difficult because of all the Disney shit, but then what are we, it's our job, we need to talk about it. And it's like, I feel like it's the same thing this week. It's like, see, this is why it's not good for one company to own everything, because if they do fucked up shit, guess what, you still have to talk about their bullshit. Now that that's out of the way, what did we think, Roxy? Let's start with you. What did you think of this Ms. Marvel trailer?
I thought that it was really cool.
Yeah,
I think that it. I think of the three of us, probably this is the most up my alley.
Maybe
because it reminded me mostly of like a lot of the teen shows that I watch, which is something that I really enjoy. It's not teen gritty like a Euphoria, but it is like a lot of those CW shows that I love.
Yeah, this definitely like gave me Mighty Ducks Game Changers vibe.
Yeah, exactly. It's similar to that too. It's a little even younger than a lot of the like Gossip Girls or other high school shows that I watch. But I think that, you know, Mighty Ducks Game Changers was one of my favorite shows of last year. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, there's like a family friendly show that I really, really dig. And this looked good. I dug it totally.
Cool. Winston, how about you?
I mean, I am so shocked that Roxy doesn't know me as much as I thought. I eat this kind of stuff up, man. Obviously, you have the more extreme side of like Cobra Kai, which I kind of get a little bit of that vibe here. Where you're dealing with, like, obviously there's some bigger action going on at play, but also trying to just make it through high school. But, you know, big fan of all those, like, kind of random, like, either movies or shows, like, what's All the Boys I Loved Before, Never Have I Ever, The Sex Life of College Girls, like, all of those types of shows, I love them. And so to see that we're kind of getting that as well as like a superhero film, I'm a big fan of this kind of coming of age type story. And I love seeing so many, women being able to be those main protagonists, to see a lot of people of color. And so like, this is like huge in the sense, I was talking to somebody the other day, where they were just mentioning watching Never Have I Ever and learning so much about a different culture, but also relating, because you're like, you're dealing with the same stuff in high school. You crushing on people and you're about to fail a test and your mama pissing you off. but you just happen to pray differently, or you have some sort of family, you know, thing that you have to deal with that maybe mine was different. Maybe it was, you know, we're doing a bar mitzvah, you're doing a quinceañera. Like it's just, it's just different stuff and learning about different cultures, which is cool. It's an avenue to do that. And that's what I loved about Ms. Marvel. And I've always loved about Kamala Khan is the fact that I've learned a lot from just reading the books about growing up Muslim and all that. And so it'll be cool to see it on screen. I can't wait. I think that the action looks like it's going to be pretty dope.
Yeah, I think it was interesting. I think we're all on the same wavelength, because I definitely got, for me, I guess because it's on Disney Plus, I thought like, yeah, the Disney Channel shows my sister used to watch. Like, this is that energy. And so my initial thought was like, well, this doesn't feel like something that like is for me. And also, good. It shouldn't be. Like, it's like not every one of these things need to be targeted to 30-year-old white men. Like, that's bad. Don't do that. And in some ways I find that more compelling than like they're coming in like Moon Knight's gonna be so different. I'm like, no, it's not. Don't even pretend like it's gonna be. It's like, but this has
potential. You don't know, DJ.
I don't know. I will say we got early reactions and they were like, this is Moon Knight is a deep psychological thriller ride that's also Disney's national treasure. And I'm like, stop it. Like, what are you doing? How in your brain do those two thoughts connect? Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. This does have the potential to come at it with a different vibe. Which it should. Like, Kamala is younger. Like, Winston, you were talking about, she's coming from a different culture. Like, that in it. And we've been asking Marvel to be like, hey, man, maybe switch it up a little bit. Like, change up like just the base tone just a little bit. And it's like, yeah, do that here. I think that'd be really cool. And it's not like I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to fucking watch it. You know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
Well, DJ, are you, I know Rox isn't super into video games, but DJ, are you a video game guy?
Yes.
It's not a good game, but did you play the Avengers game that dropped a year, 2 years ago?
I didn't, but one thing I heard is that they did her character really well.
Right. And that was one of those things that I had been aware of her. I had read a couple of stories that she was in, but what really jacked me in and I became obsessed with her was when the game dropped, because the way that they decided to do it is they put her at the center of the story.
Yeah.
So it was her, as she is known to be, fangirling over the Avengers. Obviously, her main focus is Captain Marvel, or Miss Marvel, as she used to be.
Yeah.
But they made that game where she is obsessed with the Avengers, and she goes to like some big Avengers like island that's like a museum. Yeah. And then the Terra Genesis happens. She turns into an Inhuman, and you follow the story of her trying to keep the team together because they're all sick of each other.
Yeah.
And so, to give me a fresh perspective on this world of superheroes from somebody that has just is us, mm-hmm. that is fanning out so hard. And then all of a sudden now you're one of them. I cannot wait for this.
Yeah.
They did such a good job with that element of the game. I can't wait to see what now happens with a full show, which then goes into a movie and, mm-hmm. and letting her just join this universe.
For 100%.
Interesting that the way you describe her, it feels like that's kind of the new norm for all of the teenagers. Like, I feel like that was Kate Bishop, maybe not obsessed with all of the Avengers, but with an Avenger or
Hawkeye of all Avengers.
Yeah, I know. With Spidey, or even like switching over to DC stuff, like Flash. And, you know, it feels like the youngest person now always is like fanboying or fangirling, which is not probably inaccurate about how it would be. It's just like that is very frequent now. I wonder if we're going to see anybody ever who's like, who fucking hates them.
I would love that. I would love that.
Because
it is interesting. I rewatched the trailer before we did the show, and it is interesting where she's like, you know, like, kids like me don't get to do this. And of course, that's within the context. She specifically says brown girls. And so in that context, it is great that she gets to participate that for people like that. I do kind of want one that like a kid that grows up like, we don't get to do that. And then they don't. You know what I mean? They don't get to participate in the thing, because that is the majority of human beings. You don't get to do the big, cool, special thing. You're left out.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, a show following Ned, like,
yes.
just him as the guy in the chair, you're like, yo, I know Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
don't get to do that. I was kind of hoping. Winston, did you read the Naomi comic?
No, I know of it, though.
Yeah, so at the beginning, they set up, because Brian Bendis likes to stretch stuff out. They set it up as like a mystery about her origin. And there's a brief moment where it's like, What if Naomi's adopted, and so there's part of her that thinks like, what if I could be like Superman? And spoilers, eventually she finds out she does have powers and stuff. But how cool would it be if like she doesn't, and she ends up being more like a Lois Lane that's still important and still does cool things, but it doesn't have like a secret crazy origin. She's just a person. Yeah. She's just a person who decides to do good things, and that's what makes her special. You know,
You would have to write the hell out of it, and I think it could be done super well. But I guess that's the problem. We get obsessed with the powers and all that kind of stuff. So then, like, if it's like it's actually just Bob, you're like, I don't give a shit about Bob.
But it's interesting to your point, Roxy. It's not just superhero stuff. It's kind of all of these like requels, whatever. It's like Ray is a fan of Luke, the main kid in Ghostbusters is a fan of Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? There, it's audience surrogate to the ultimate degree. It's like literally. Please like her thing. We're making it just like you. Please like her thing.
Probably because the creators are like, if anybody gets to have the powers, it should be somebody who's obsessed with the person who had the powers, like me.
Yeah.
Like, but they're probably thinking, you know, I want that. So,
but to your point, how fucking hilarious would it be? It's like you have a group of three high school friends and only one of them is like, no, fuck the Avengers. And then they get the powers and the whole time is their friends being like, you got to do the thing. He's like, no, I don't want to do the thing. I don't want this. Yeah. I don't want to be a part of this. Leave me the fuck alone.
That would be super compelling. I would love that. Like, if I know what Superman and Lois is popping off and everything, another thing that I've got to play catch up on.
Yeah.
But how dope would that be if, like, he was like, nah, Dad, I ain't being no Superman. You can go F yourself. I'm playing football. Like that's all he wants to do. Like, that would be, I feel like that'd be super cool.
Yeah, it'd be, like, cool.
There is, like, definitely, I feel like there are the kids that are obsessed with Backstreet Boys, you know, they're super into whatever is the hottest thing at the time. Backstreet Boys is the first thing that came to mind. Yeah. That was a great example. But, and there are the,
you know,
kids
what
that
the
are
kids
like,
are into now, Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. Then there are the kids that are like, that's lame. That's lame. Like, the cool thing's lame. I'm going to Hot Topic instead. And I feel like the Hot Topic kids are not fans of the Avengers.
Yeah.
Because consume, obey, you know, they're like that. It's not their jam.
I think what we're saying is give one of the Hot Topic kids superpowers and just see what happens. And see what
Does
happens.
Does Hot Topic exist anymore?
Sure. You know, possibly. Who's to say? I know the other thing that we should talk about, we should discuss, is that some fans are not too happy about the Kamala's powers have changed. In the comics, she's got stretchy powers. And I think for me, it's one of those like, yeah, but you're like a couple years away from introducing Mr. Fantastic. And I conceptually, I like the idea that Kamala's abilities have nothing to do with Captain Marvel. Like, she's just a Captain Marvel fan. That's it. Her powers are completely unrelated. However, the further you mentioned, Winston, you mentioned Terra Genesis in the game. It's like the further we can distance Kamala from that event in the comics, I feel like the better for everybody.
I understand that because it is, and that what makes me so sad about the Inhumans. I was never like a huge fan of their team, but one of my good buddies, Emmy Ikokor, he was Gorgon on the show.
Oh shit!
And so that was like his big like series regular moment for that thing to completely implode. Mm-hmm. Now he's since been fine. If y'all have been seeing those Apple commercials with the two guys in the car being like, "And you're out of focus right now. I'm in focus."
Yeah.
He's that guy. He's the black dude in that one. Cool. So he was in Moonfall.
Good for him.
You know, obviously, unfortunately, they also did not do super great at the box office, but he got to be Halle Berry's husband. Like, he's doing fine.
Hey,
my point.
listen, I think he came out of that with a win. He got a paycheck. He got to be Halle Berry's husband. Win-win.
Exactly. So it's a win-win for sure. But all that being said, I think the thing that bothers me just a little bit about the power change, with it being kind of a mystical object and not like her having these powers that allow her body to drastically change like that, one of the charming elements of Kamala's story is the fact that her body isn't always doing what she wants it to do. So very similar to turning red with this idea of like, I can't control this. It's whatever. You're losing that fantastic element of her dealing with, where we're all dealing with the body changes ourselves, of just like, oh, I'm gangly now and my hormones, like one of the things is she really doesn't do well with her powers at first. Mm. So her body kind of being out of her control, you're losing a really fun story element of that we can all relate to being that age. So that was where I was more upset with them deciding to change the power set. I understand why they did it.
Yeah.
But I just hated losing that element for me. That was where I was upset.
I think that's a really good point. And I also understand you're a big fan of the character, fans of the character having read the comics and just wanting to see that on screen and then having it changed because of like another established characters coming out. And I do feel like I was kind of surprised. We'd seen some early art that kind of like hinted at her power change. I was kind of surprised. I thought they were going to split the difference. Like, it's still like body morphing. It's just now energy based. Mm-hmm. Like, whereas this is like, no, it's basically Green Lantern powers. It's like, I mean, okay, sure. I don't.
Yeah.
You would think that was a storytelling move, a budget move.
That was a make her closer to Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel move, and farther away from Mr. Fantastic move. It was pure. I imagine
storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, as far as Marvel's concerned, storytelling. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I didn't even necessarily. Would that fall under storytelling?
I just mean in terms of like they're changing it because of the overarching story that they're trying to tell, which is that she's closer to this way, and then we've got other powers this way. Like as opposed to, it's an expensive move to have her have different powers budget wise.
Yeah, I thought it was the closer to to Captain Marvel thing makes sense. I thought it was purely to try it, knowing that they're trying to introduce Mr. Fantastic soon.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't know. You can't have two heroes that do that and so quickly as well. Like, you know, if like they had introduced the Fantastic Four now and her a year or two from now, that'd be one thing. But if Fantastic Four is supposed to drop in like 18-ish months, something like that, and she's going to be front and center for both her show and then a movie.
Yeah.
That was the main probably reason.
Is she like Elasty Girl or what exactly does it?
More or less.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Stretching. Embiggen. She has the power to embiggen. And what that means is that she embiggens her body. However, so normally she'll do it in terms of like, not only stretching, but then like making her fist super big or making
I know everybody kept saying about the hands.
Yeah.
Which is part of the fun of like her in high school when she's crushing on a boy and all of a sudden like her leg, like she looks down and her foot's ginormous. She's like, oh, you know, like trying to keep it together. But then also, which you don't really see Reed ever do, there are points where she full on just goes full like Giganta and just goes full embiggen and becomes a giant like giant man and is just crushing things and all sorts of stuff. So she's fun. Her and her original power set's fun. So I am curious with them going Green Lantern how this all plays out. Did we lose Rox?
We lost Roxy's camera.
It's only ever on this show. It does not happen to me on any other show.
It's cursed. It's cursed.
And it didn't happen last week. I don't know.
We have a question here from Leonard Kim. Do you think it is possible that we get a Captain Marvel or Monica Rambeau cameo at the end of Ms. Marvel? I think Monica Rambeau, considering she was introduced in WandaVision, is easily possible. But I would be surprised if we don't get either one of those two or like a Nick Fury.
I would not even be surprised if we genuinely get a Brie Larson and not for like a full thing. But we've seen Disney do this before where they're able to tap their bigger characters. Like we saw Luke, spoiler alert, at the end of Mandalorian 2.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you get a brief little cameo from Brie. Maybe it's like a post-credit scene. Yeah. Type scenario at the very end of the season where it's like, oh, I heard you're out here, you know, saving the world or something like that. And then she's like, oh my God. And then like, that's, you know, like that's the end of it. But that would be the most. I don't think it'll be more than a little cameo.
It's like the end of Shang-Chi where it's like a hollow Zoom call. Like, oh, what? Yeah, I just rolled out of bed. Sure. Good job. I don't know. Bye.
Yeah.
I think that Brie Larson's also like super into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she loves, she also started like her YouTube channel. She likes helping young women. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this is totally up her alley. So I don't even think it would be a hard sell for her.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So before we go, we also have another piece of news that I wanted to bring up. Winston, you just caught up on Euphoria. Roxy, I know you watch Euphoria. I do not, but I am aware of Sydney Sweeney from White Lotus. And then she was in that like Netflix movie, Night Teeth. Anyway, she's been cast in Madam Web, starring Dakota Johnson. And it's a mystery role. And I will, you know, a lot of people... have been speculating possibly Gwen Stacy because she's blonde, possibly Black Cat. And I have to imagine trying to find the best way to say this. I feel like a lot of the speculation is in Black Cat because Sydney Sweeney shares some physical attributes that Black Cat traditionally has in the comics. And so I'll just throw that out there. I kind of hope she'd be great. I kind of hope it's not Black Cat because it sounds like as an actor, Sydney Sweeney wants to be known for other things other than her physical appearance. and I feel like at least as a kid growing in the 90s, that was a big selling point of Black Cat was her physicality. So maybe fair. It'd be cool to maybe see. I'd love it. She'd be great. I'd be totally down with it. But
she's Marvel Catwoman, but with some powers instead of just being a master, you know, burglar in all that regard.
And her costume tends to be on the more revealing side.
Yes,
typically
accurate. Yeah, that is accurate.
Yes. Especially, and I cannot stress this enough. My introduction to Black Cat was in the 90s when her costume barely existed. So
yeah. Mine was the Spider-Man 90s cartoon. Mm-hmm. So like, even though it was like a full leotard with like fur on the stuff, she still was constantly flirting with Peter and just being like, "Let me show you how to do this." And I'm like, "Yo, okay." So
so again, be great at it, but like it'd be cool to say or do other stuff. I know somebody was like, hopefully it's just not like Madam Web's friend. It's like, well, we feel like Sydney Sweeney's probably at a better place in her career than just being the friend or whatever, but who knows. Roxy, do you have any thoughts on who she might be playing in Madam Web?
I think you just named the two main thoughts, and I don't know who she would be playing other than Gwen or Black Cat. I like her a lot.
Yeah. She's incredibly talented. Again, I don't have the euphoria of it, but like in White Lotus, she was really good.
Yeah, I think that she, of the people on Euphoria, she's one of the most talented because a lot of them are really talented. But if you watch the interviews afterwards, you could see she's really nothing like her character, which is good for her because her character is a living POS.
Oh, cool. cool.
So... You can just tell, like, she's really having to work for it.
Yeah.
She's really having to. And so I would love to see more of her range as well. I think this will be really fun. Like you said too, or pointed out, DJ, she is beautiful.
Yes.
And so I think that it's not a bad problem to have as an actor. Mm-mm. But I also would think that they wouldn't do a version of Black Cat that is like the 90s. You would hope that that's not where they go.
Unless that's what she, if she's like, yeah, I'm in, sign me, you know what I mean? Like, I just know, I haven't watched Euphoria, but I know some of the articles, you know, some of the headlines at least were kind of like, I feel like people are too focused on my physicality. And it's like, yeah, then maybe Black Cat's not the one. Again, not that, honestly, really genuinely good character, and I think she'd be good at it. It's just, and maybe I'm just through the lenses of adolescent boy in the 90s who I was being targeted viciously by Marvel Comics at the time. And I know how they did that there. And it's like, well, if you're doing the same thing, I don't know, switch it up. I do also think that Gwen Stacy in a Madam Web movie would be weird, especially if it's not Emma Stone. Because there's rumors that they might be trying to make Madam Web their Doctor Strange. So I assume when they say that, they mean multiverse stuff. And it's like, well, then Emma, either don't do Gwen Stacy or do Emma Stone. Otherwise, do something else.
But it's like you just said, if it's their version of multiverse stuff, and we've already seen the various Spider-Men and what they look like in their various universes, there's nothing to say that this couldn't potentially be, if you're tapping Holland, this is the Holland Gwen Stacy, which also, that would take you away from the physicality side of things. Not that Gwen Stacy isn't beautiful and physical herself, but she is mainly known for being a genius as well. That's where her and Peter make that connect. And then B, Sydney already has that connection with Zendaya. So if you are doing that, then you have this whole idea of Tom and Zendaya and Sydney, who are all like chummy like that, all working together. So that works really well on that project if she plays Gwen. So the weird dynamic of MJ versus Gwen and all that, like, I feel like a lot of that could be pretty fun and might be the move. You know, if she's trying to really focus on less the physical and more just like the character building, full forward, I think Gwen Stacy would be a perfect casting.
Yeah. Do you remember her DJ in Handmaid's Tale?
I've never seen Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, what?
Yes.
I feel like we talked about it so many times.
Yes,
I just talk about it and you listen.
Yeah, we've come up on the show. My wife has watched a good chunk of it. It's one of those that like, oh, that's too bleak for me. I can't. It's what like Wiz was talking about. There's so much content. And I was like, that seems too dark for where I'm at right now. But what were you going to say about her in Handmaid's Tale?
She's just excellent.
No.
She's really good. No. She's just really, really good. And Sharp Objects also.
Who was she in Sharp Objects?
What?
Which one was she in? Which one was she in? Which one?
She's in the whole show.
Yeah, but which? I'm trying because that was before I knew her as Sydney Sweeney. So I'm trying to. Was she like the spoilers for Sharp Objects? The crazy daughter's friend.
Yeah, I think so. Because when was this show? 2018? I'm trying to even remember.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And I really like Sharp Objects, felt like a season of True Detective. It felt like it should have been like True Detective, Sharp Objects, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. Anyway, she's really talented. She's really talented. So I'm glad that she's getting this opportunity.
I'm trying to think even what the main storyline was in it. Was she the.
I don't remember. I have to rewatch it. I'll have to rewatch it. But it's and her star's on the rise, so this makes sense. And so good for her. Once you're talking about her and Zendaya, it's like have her do a team up movie with Zendaya. Forget Tom Holland. Let him go off and do his own thing. Have Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney team up and have an adventure together in the Spider-Man universe.
That'd be dope.
That's it for the.
That would be dope.
That's it for the news. We're gonna go to another quick ad break, and we will be back to talk about Defenders on Disney Plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back, and we are here to talk about our main topic today, which is the fact that as of this recording, all of the Marvel Netflix shows, okay, hold on. This is a perfect introduction. You all can help me. I've been trying to, what do we call these now? Because are they the Defender? It felt like we were calling these the Defender shows, and then the Defenders didn't really work for most people, and so we called them the Marvel Netflix shows, and now they're not on Netflix anymore. What the fuck do we call these? Collectively, what are these shows known as?
I still, even though the Defenders was a giant letdown, it still is what they are.
Yeah.
So you could do that, I guess, if you want to go with Daredevil verse. But the problem with that is that we have now gotten confirmation that they are connected to the greater MCU as a whole, as they were always, but not, it was loose, you know, and now we have a direct link.
They announced it yesterday.
What did they announce yesterday?
What they're going to be called, the Defenders Saga.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
That makes sense.
That works. Hey, yeah. Listen, it goes with the Infinity War saga. Also, do we have concrete confirmation that these shows are a part of the MCU, or is all we know so far that Vincent D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox are playing those characters in these movies? Everybody else, maybe we'll see.
You had, if I remember, at the beginning of either Daredevil or Jessica Jones, like allusions to like, the big green guys out here smashing all of, Manhattan. And I think that was this is connected, but we play in our own little sandbox type scenario.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah. You're 100% right. Cause I know in early seasons of Daredevil in one of the newsrooms, there's like paper talking about the Hulk in Brooklyn, the alien invasion, and Jessica Jones made allusions to the big green guy like you're talking about. But also, as somebody that watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I know how these shows can begin feeling very connected, and then by the end, it's like, well, never mind, actually.
That it was, they got ambitious before they were ready to do. I almost feel like Marvel TV and trying to connect it to the MCU was almost like the DCEU just trying to we got to play catch up. And mm-hmm. it literally felt like we did the Avengers. And now we got the Agents over here. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to just controls over there. Yeah. And then it was just more than they were ready to deal with. And now I think they are appropriately like set up to do what they need to do, you know?
Yes. Yeah. One hope. So, thank you, Roxy, for resolving that mystery. The Defenders saga.
You're so welcome.
Has now moved to Disney Plus. You can now, watch Luke Cage absolutely rail Jessica Jones. You can watch Kingpin behead a guy with a car door. You can watch all those things on the same app that you watch High School Musical the Musical.
High School Musical the Musical the series.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all on the same app now. Cheaper by the Dozen is coming out. You can switch right from that to watching a guy in the third episode of Daredevil literally impale his own head on a metal spike instead of outing Kingpin. That's a thing that you can watch on the Disney Plus app. What do we think this means for Disney Plus, for these characters? What does this imply for the future of Marvel and Disney Plus?
If Kristen Ritter is willing to come back, I think that they would have to be the dumbest people alive not to have her make appearances.
Yeah.
So I know that doesn't fully answer your question, but that's what I care about the most. She's my favorite, and I love her so much.
She's great.
And there's so many rooms for Poppins for her. And she's not, I'm not saying she's not booked and busy, but she's not booked and busy. Like, she's got it.
They haven't greenlit that Being Apartment 23 reboot yet or whatever. She's got time in her schedule, it appears.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't want to say she's, not working, because of course she is, but like, can this be another project she's working on? Thanks.
I agree with you, Roxy. I think she's great. I still think for me, the first season of Jessica Jones is the high watermark for those shows. There are other good ones, but I feel like that's still like the best of the Defender saga, that as we're now calling it. I will say, like, so are we thinking all these characters in, none of them are being recast?
Luke Cage would be the only Luke Cage and Iron Fist would be my guess. I've heard from a number of people that Mike Coulter's just like, I don't want to have to stay in Luke Cage shape.
I do not blame him.
Yeah, I don't. Good for Chris Hemsworth. He must eat that shit up. I can't imagine wanting to, like, as dope as being Thor would be.
Yeah.
That is your entire, you have to be kind of like a little bit of a gym rat, like, bro, to be like, I'd love doing this so damn much, of course. But Mike Coulter was just the crazy amount of shape he had to be in to be Luke Cage. He was like, after those two seasons in Defenders, I think if it was doing hella better, he may have probably been like, you know what? Sure.
Yeah.
But I think since it kind of across the board, the Defenders saga went from hella hype to kind of falling off.
Yeah.
He was just like, no, thank you.
Well, and he's on Evil now, right? And I think that show's still going. And also, I don't know this, but he's on of the Marvel heroes. He is on the older side, right? Like, I believe so.
Yeah.
He's closer to Robert Downey Jr. end than maybe the Chris Hemsworth end. And Robert Downey Jr. never needed to be in Chris Hemsworth or Luke Cage shape. That's not something that they required of him.
Yeah, he's 45. So, you know, there's a point at 45 where you stay in shape for your job.
Yeah.
But you want to have a cheeseburger with your kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't.
Can't they, like, put something on top of him? Like, fake abs? Color them in?
I mean, technically, I guess you could. If you got some deep fakes, you could just go get somebody that'll be jacked for him and just deep fake his face on.
And I think here's the other thing, and I might be approaching this wrong. I feel like, listen, if we're bringing the Defenders on, you should recast Iron Fist. And if you recast Iron Fist, listen, Mike Coulter's busy. You're saying he might not want to come back. Well, let's just do the Heroes for Hire over again. And listen, I love Kristen Ritter, but after watching Kristen Milioti on Mythic Quest and
I Met Your Mother.
What was the movie she was in? She was really good.
Palm Springs.
I think she'd be a great Jessica Jones. Like, I think she'd do a really fucking good job.
Wait. What?
Yeah, I think she'd fucking
kill. Christina Milioti
would be a great Jessica Jones.
Oh my God, what?
You don't see it?
I guess the only thing of all the things you just said that makes me see it a little bit would be the one Mythic Quest episode, but like, nah.
I don't know.
She's so goofy. She's so like inherently goofy.
Really? Like, cause she's got some bite in Palm Springs as well. She's got some edge. I feel like I see it, but I also love Christian Ritter. But honestly,
maybe I'm just too attached to Kristen Ritter to even give your opinion a shot on this.
Listen, I get it,
DJ.
But going, continuing off on this line, here's the thing though, and I think this is what leads to that question is I feel like the general consensus has been, okay, Charlie Cox is still Daredevil, therefore the Defender saga counts. And it's like, yeah, but if you watch Kingpin in Hawkeye, that's a different character. That's not the same dude. Like,
yeah.
He's basically getting his ass clowned by Kate Bishop. Like, he's one of the wet bandits. Like, that's not. And I'm not saying. And listen, you know, different writers and stuff. But I'm just saying, like, tonally, it's a different. And it's one of those things too that when people ever, I don't know about you all, but I usually like every day I see two things trending: Restore the Snyderverse, Daredevil season 4, right? And it's one of those like, y'all, I get it. You want more Daredevil. But do you want it on Disney Plus? Because it's not going to be the same thing. It's not going to, if you see Kingpin and Hawkeye, it's not going to be the same thing.
I don't know. The way that they did it this time, I don't disagree with you, but it is very possible that Daredevil season 4, they let that show have the same tone just because you are looking at, them releasing all of that Fox content on Disney Plus, and the fact that you now have the mature option where like I logged into Disney Plus last night and they were like, hey, so there's some shit you probably don't want your kids to see if you got kids. So is you a baby or is you a parent? And I was like, motherfucker. Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they allow them to do that. And they've just made that connection now of, because they got to keep parents interested in opening Disney Plus. I was having a conversation with somebody about Disney Plus is on the whole time the kids are awake, but the minute they go to bed, a lot of folks, if it's not a Star Wars show or a Marvel show that they're trying to catch up on, turn it off and turn on HBO Max. So I think you got to keep the adults on the streamer if you're trying to win that streamer war, you know?
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question that's so random and anybody who's like a super nerd is like, what the fuck is such a stupid question that could never happen? If I'm asking anyway.
Please.
Yes, Roxy. Yeah. Do you guys think we're ever going to have a TV show or movie that has both Marvel and DC characters in it?
Oh my God, Roxy, what a stupid question. Why would you ask that? I hope so. I think that would be super fun. You've got powers in both universes that can like cause reality bending.
Yeah.
So why not the Infinity Stone somehow? They got put back into where they were supposed to be. So someone grabs them again and accidentally snaps it, and you tunnel your way into the DC universe, and or vice versa. Somebody in like some crazy threat, it opens up, Flash runs too hard and pops open a dimension, and there's Iron Man just staring him in the face. Like, you never know. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I think in, you know, maybe 20 to 50 years from now, when we all live under the subjugation of one big megacore like Amazon and Disney combined, and everything's just bought under one company, and finally Marvel movies, superhero movies aren't making the bank they're used to, they're like, ah, fuck, man. Yeah, maybe Batman hangs out with Spider-Man. I don't know. Just something to get those dollars rolling in.
Dude, the Justice League and the Avengers have to take on the Boys. I'm here for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. The boys are we've combined the Justice League and the Avengers, and the Boys live in that universe, so they're no longer fighting Homelander. Superman, mainstream Superman is just a villain now because that's what we seem to want to do with him. And not even in that heightened scenario, Roxy, I do think like maybe once superhero sales start, it's the same thing that happened in the comics. Once sales start flagging, I finally remember that Marvel versus DC crossover in the 90s when fucking it was clone Spider-Man having to fight clone Superboy. Maybe, but not for a while,
because like the thing that would be the coolest thing on the entire planet mm-hmm. would be if Melissa Benoist's Supergirl and Kristen Ritter's Jessica Jones had a crossover episode in which, like, Kristen Ritter just can't fucking stand Supergirl.
She's
just so bubbly and
so goddamn bleak. Yeah.
I mean, you might get the same.
She's got to work with her, but she's like, oh.
you might get the same tonal equivalent with, like, if Jessica Jones ever has to hang out with fucking Miss Marvel or something like that.
Totally, we could do it like that. But I'm just thinking about like Melissa Benoist bringing her back, somehow getting her in, and just those two actors playing off of each other. Like, I'd cut off a pinky.
There you go. We got some questions from the Discord about this. A new guy asked, do you think this means Moon Knight or other upcoming Disney Plus content could lean more into the TVMA category? That is what Disney wants us to think, is that Moon Knight will do that.
I mean, that poster is him holding a moon. I don't know what they're specifically referred to, but like a moon batarang type thing dripping in blood. Like, I'm gonna venture out on a guess that is probably what's gonna happen.
Well, I mean, in their defense, we did see U.S. agent decapitate a dude with the Captain America shield. So, like, it's not necessarily, it's not like unheard of for these shows.
That's fair. That is fair.
What do you think, Roxy?
Yeah, I agree. I think that as you guys are saying, totally not unheard of.
I also think, you know, part of the reason why I want there to be like a soft reboot in the Defenders universe, saying like same actors but kind of a different continuity, is stuff like I want Purple Man back. But then I also think, like, actually maybe that first season gave them a gift for not having. Now Disney does not have to figure out what to do thematically with a character like Purple Man. They're like, no, he's gone. We did that story. He's gone now. We don't have to.
Yeah, I'm with you, DJ. I'm with you.
We don't have to wade in those waters.
I think they, like, want to not have to navigate certain things, which I get.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't either.
Yeah, and it's like, I think they're trying to do stuff like they introduced in the comics. They just introduced a new Iron Fist that is. I was gonna say Asian American. I might take the American out of that. He might just be like Chinese. But the problem with that is, I read the first issue, and it's another character. It's another pre-established Marvel character. So they made themselves all these hurt. Like, there's this whole other backstory they need to do before they could get to this guy in like an Iron Fist reboot. And it's like, well, I assumed you did this comic just so you didn't have to bring Finn Jones back. No offense, Finn Jones. Nobody liked you. It's not a value judgment on you at all. It's just the response to your Iron Fist nobody liked. I don't know. And I guess I think that's another reason why it's like, I'm okay with like maybe recasting Luke Cage, because it's like, genuinely loved Mike Coulter. But like, Trevante Rhodes is out there. You know what I mean? And I think it's been a minute since he's been in anything. He was like Moonlight and the Predator.
I can't believe the shade you are throwing at Jessica Jones. I'm not throwing any shade.
It's not that much of shade.
I cannot believe what you are doing right now, DJ. Like, and you're not even just, you're not recasting Finn Jones. You're recasting Mike Coulter and Kristen Ritter. Like, what is wrong with you right now? Do you not care about my soul?
It's a domino effect. If you recast Finn Jones, laws of the Heroes for Hire suggest that you should also recast Luke Cage. And if you recast Luke Cage, there's some reason to at least recast Jessica Jones.
But laws of Roxy's heart say Mike Coulter forever.
I get it. You know? I get it. Yeah. I get it. We got another question here. Now that it seems they're willing to have less than squeaky clean stuff on the app, is there anything you would like to see them do with more edge? Anyone else finally ready to see Lizzie McGuire reboot that was, quote, too risque?
Yeah, I'm really annoyed about that, because I was so team Hillary Duff on this one, where it's just like, why would you guys do a reboot show of Lizzie McGuire, and she's supposed to be 30 years old. That's me. I'm the Lizzie McGuire era. Yeah. Lizzie and I are the same age. We came up together. I'm Lizzie, and she's getting a divorce, and that happens. And they were like, nope, that's bad. She's got to be, everything's got to be golden. And she was like, no, but that's not like how life works. I'm 30. Like, who's your show for?
Yeah.
Is your show for the kids? Because if it is, why is it starring a 30-year-old?
Right.
I think they probably wanted like Girl Meets World situation, where like she's grown up, but she has kids now. Exactly. They wanted like Lizzie McGuire has kids now. How old could they possibly be? She's 30. Like, maybe...
No.
10? I don't know.
Whatever. I'm watching How I Met Your Father, and she's effing great in it, so good enough for me.
There you go.
I'm kind of just pretending it's Lizzie. And she kind of is.
That's what people... That's what Kristen... My girlfriend Kristen watches it, and that's kind of what she was saying. She's like, it is as close to the Lizzie McGuire reboot that I think we're going to get, and I appreciate them kind of trying to acknowledge that a little bit. I am team Hillary Duff all the way. She was like, look, I'm trying to do justice by where this woman would be at. And they were like, nah, we can't because of the kids. And that might be the one property I wish they would come back and revisit, but I don't think they ever will. I think that ship is long sailed, unfortunately.
Yeah, because she's on this other show now. They actually filmed episodes of that show, right? The Lizzie McGuire? Yeah.
They were like two or three in, and then they were like, she wanted to keep going, and they're like with that darker, more adult tone, and they were like, nah. And I'm like, if anything, I feel like Disney has to feel kind of stupid about this, because look at Fresh Prince, and now you have Bel Air, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of detractors, but when they saw the trailer, like, man, it's going to be stupid. And now everybody's like, yo, man, but like, what is Aunt Viv doing? Yeah. Like, you know, so.
I haven't watched it yet. You guys think I'll like it?
Yes.
Oh, dude. It's amazing.
I think Roxy. Wow, I think you will definitely like it.
My dad loves it.
Yeah,
your dad loves it.
My dad loves it.
Wow.
Yeah, he keeps calling me. My dad and his girlfriend are watching it, and he keeps telling me, like, "Are you watching this show yet?" And I'm like, "But he's the only one I knew who was watching it. I guess I'll start it."
Yeah, I think for me, Hillary and Aunt Viv are definitely the standouts in that show. Like, I think they're the most improved. I will say we've started getting Carlton on Team Will, but like, we need to do something with Carlton to make him slightly likable. We need to do some slight rehabilitation on the Carlton character.
I've only seen the first two episodes, and he is a prick.
Yeah, he sucks.
I do not like him.
The actor's good. The actor's good, and I get like the take.
Right.
It's just like Will is so fucking charismatic that if anybody is like anti Will, immediately it's like, nah, man, I'm not about you. Get out of here. Oh man. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to think of what I would like to see that's more risque on. What could Disney do? I want to see an Alien versus Predator show on Disney Plus. Make it happen.
Dude, hell yeah. Like all of a sudden Spider-Man's out here like, wait a minute, wasn't that from that one really old movie? And then he's this just completely destroyed by acid before he can make his little pun.
Okay, what if the what if show, the animated what if show, do the zombie episode, but it's the xenomorphs, and there's just chest bursters busting out of Spider-Man's chest. Fucking and then you take didn't they try to establish in like one of the movies, it might have been one of the Aliens versus Predators, that they like take on the characteristics of whatever the chest burster was in. So now you've got like fucking xenomorph with like acid webs.
Jesus. With acid web? Jesus Christ.
Nobody wants an acid web, you know?
You don't want to get an acid web in the face. It's the worst thing. All right. All right, everybody. That is it for us this week. Let us know in Twitter or whatever that what you think about the Defenders saga coming to Disney Plus. Winston, before we go, remind the kids at home where they can find you and what they should be looking out for from you.
Absolutely. You can find me anywhere that Swaggy Blurs are sold, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I'm on Twitch a number of times. Again, my handle across all those boards is The Swaggy Blurred. You probably know me if you're familiar with Roxy from the Schmodown over there as well. And then right behind me, this is the logo. I do a show every Tuesday and Thursday with my co-host Jay Washington called Blurreds in the Hood, 6 p.m. Pacific. On Twitch is where we do the live stream, but we do clip out the show and put it on YouTube as well. So if you just want to watch it in bite-sized chunks instead of the full hour to 2 hour essentially live podcast episode, you can do that as well. That's pretty much everything right now. I've got some other projects in the works, but that's where you'll find me week in, week out, is in those places. So come say what's up.
Hell yeah. Check all that out. Roxy, what about you? Where can they find you?
Everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Y'all know.
Hell yeah. Check it out. You can find me everywhere that matters at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow this show at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
Yank out the vowels from stupid.
Thank you all for joining us. We will see you all next time. If you want to check out the Patreon, you can do that. Watch shows like this live. You can check out Spider-Versity with me and Sal. And you can check out what Roxy and I are into. This week, we're going to be talking about Severance. Probably the goddamn bleakest show on TV right now. I'm going to be talking about Ted Lasso because I just caught up on that. And I just saw The Lost City. So I'll be talking about that as well. Check that out over Patreon. And we'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.